This is Steve Allen's A Little Bit Extra, leading Britain's conversation. You're listening to our podcast of Steve Allen.
Hello there. I don't mean to be presumptuous, but if you're listening to this, then you may also be a fan of the Steve Allen The Whole Show podcast. If you are, then this information is for you. From mid-December, Steve Allen The Whole Show podcast will be available exclusively on Global Player. It's still 100% free, it's still The Whole Show, and it's still utterly brilliant. But you won't be able to find it on any other platform other than Global Player. If you haven't already got Global Player, it's dead easy to get hold of. Here's what you need to do. You either download it from your app store or visit globalplayer.com. Once you've got it, simply go to the podcast section and search for Steve Allen, The Whole Show. If you're listening on Alexa, just say, Alexa, open Global Player and play Steve Allen, The Whole Show podcast. Thank you. Morning, everybody. Welcome along to your free podcast for today. Isn't it exciting? It's Wednesday, January the 4th. It's another bloody train strike. But I'm not sure about the buses. I'm not sure if the buses are off as well, because that could prove a big problem for me. If I can get as far as Hammersmith on the train or on the bus, then I'm OK. But beyond there, we might be sort of taking a black cab or something like that. Also, what about the kids who have to go back to school? How are they supposed to cut? Are they supposed to walk or something? Somebody came up with a good idea. It's not a new idea. For the train strike, they said, as opposed to really pissing off all the passengers on the trains, why not open all the barriers, let people travel for free, and that way the management will be going, we're losing all this money, they're still having to pay everybody, because they're doing the job. I mean, would that not make perfect... I mean, you have to be, you know, an intellectual graduate to work this one out. Open all the barriers, put all the trains on, everybody can use them, everybody happy except the management who don't get any money. There's no income. And then all the train stations are happy, all the workers are happy because they're getting paid, all the people who own shops at the stations. You know, I mean, God, it's not complicated. It really isn't. I mean, in some country in Europe that does that when they strike. You know, there are some places who do. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. You know, if you really want to hit the manager, why are you hitting the British public? Because they're only going to hate you. And as we said yesterday, the Times ran a story, which we did weeks ago, saying eventually people are going to go, stick your trains up your bottom, because we're going to find alternative methods of transport. So we don't need to rely on the trains ever again. And that means huge redundancies across the board. If that's what Michael Lynch wants, well, then you're doing the right thing, pal. It's heading that way, because people are now managing to get to work on buses or bicycling or walking or running or taking taxis or doing anything else but getting on those bloody trains. Surely you've got half a brain cell between that sort of huge head of yours. There must be a brain cell in there. Do something. Because it's getting worse and it ain't going to get any better for you or your members. Leonardo DiCaprio, on the meanwhile, was kicking off 2023 with bikini-clad beauties on a boat, because that's what he's into. Leonardo to DiCaprio, Mr. Teeny Tiny, I have to tell you. It's a little bit embarrassing. There was a film years and years ago made when he was sort of much, much younger, and he had to appear nude, lying on his... It was a little bit embarrassing. There wasn't a lot there. But in fact, that's why I think he goes for these sort of younger girls. Because he's not going for people his own age. In fact, I think once they get past like 23, 24, he's not interested. And so he works for a lot. The trouble is, he's ageing day by day by day. And also, he's not the world's greatest actor, is he? He just used to be a very pretty boy. He was very lovely in Titanic, but that was donkeys years ago. Meanwhile, Abby Clancy and Peter Crouch are having a Maldives beach vow renewal, which is lovely. I've interviewed Peter. I told you before, I said to him when he came in, I said, you're going to think I'm really stupid. I said, I know nothing about football at all. I said, I've never had any interest in football. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I don't know what days they play. Oh, using my mug. Look at that. Do you know, this comes up quite well, doesn't it? That was very, it's still available, a few of them. There's a 10 left, I think, on the Magic Circle website. We had 100. They sold 80, I think. I bought 10, and then I think there were just 10 left. I think they're really good. These are the magic mugs. Go to the Magic Circle website. That's all I'm telling you. You know, you want to buy one? Buy one. Money goes to charity. If you don't, that's fine. So she's wearing a sheer vintage lace hat. She's only about so big. She's tiny as Abby Clancy. Oti Mabusi and Holly Willoughby look good in stunning gowns, because you've got Dancing on Ice with the people you've never heard of. You know, some old biddy from Hollyoaks, somebody who was in a boy band from years ago. I mean, what do these people do now? Answer, nothing. I mean, Holly, she could wear a bin liner or a paper bag from Marks and Spencer's and she'd look fantastic in it. Pip Schofield, the gay boy, he sort of looks OK, because there's not really a lot you can put him in, but he's slim. He's very lucky, he's sort of kept his body, but I should imagine, because his hair's white, everything's white. I'm only guessing. Victoria Derbyshire marries her partner. And I didn't think that they were keeping her at the BBC. I thought they were getting rid of her because her ratings were so poor. But anyway, she's a television host and she's 54. So by BBC standards, she's getting on a bit. You know, so she gets married. Davina McCall visits a notorious Karen restaurant. I don't know what a Karen restaurant is. Oh, that's right. The evening saw the Masked Singer judge called a stupid, the B word, by one waitress while her vegetarian pal was mocked and sworn at. So let's close that place down, shall we? I think that's what we have to do. Karen's Diner. Oh, it's a themed restaurant. That's what they do. They insult people. Which is great because they used to have another one which was called School Dinners, where all the girl waitresses dressed up in little school uniforms. Do you remember school? It was called School Dinners, and elderly businessmen went there because so they could be given the cane. You know, the pervy types. We had it at public school. We want it again now. And they would go there and there'd be a headmaster presiding over the proceedings. You go, you, six of the best. And the girls wearing skimpy little uniforms would drag this hapless man out who loved every minute of it. And they would give them six of the best and then they would humiliate them. The special frontman, Terry Hall's funeral, people turned up. I thought he was way too young, but there again, I think anybody under my age is way too young anyway to die, and I feel absolutely dreadful about it. I feel as though I'm a bit of a fraud, really, because, you know, he was a father of three, had pancreatic cancer, and it spread really fast, and then he died. There was all sorts of people there. He was at the Golders Green Crematorium. He also developed diabetes. Hello, welcome to my world. But I try and be good about it. I try and be good. I'm not necessarily the best person, but I try and sort of stay away from it. I've worked out the reason I'm still living is that I take such a combination of tablets and things to keep me going. That might be fighting off everything else because, I mean, by the law of averages, my parents died very young. My dad was 52, I think, which is like, to me, it seems like, you know, ridiculous. I mean, he came out of the RAF when he was 36. Well, I see that as almost childlike. You can come out, I think it was 36 or then it was in your 50s. And but he loved the forces. He absolutely loved being in the RAF. He loved the postings. He loved the, you know, we had nice places wherever we went to. We didn't know anything about it as kids. We just knew that Dad was in the forces and went off to work every day in a uniform. We didn't think anything about it. And in Hong Kong, he worked at Government House. And we had a typhoon when we were there. We've got our memories. We've got these lovely cine films of the dragon boat races and just everything. It was just, you know, we never appreciated it. And that's the trouble. I always say to people, you know, as you go through life, appreciate everything your parents have ever done for you. Because when they've gone, they've gone and you don't get them back again. And you have to make the most of it. You know, I wish I'd said more to my mum when she was dying, but you just don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. So when I read about people very young dying, it does question your faith about whether or not there is a God and if he's actually listening to you or if he's doing something completely different. What else we got? Somebody called M. Ruskiano. I don't know who that is. Do you know M. Ruskiano calls for an inquiry as she slams Rolling Stone's 200 Greatest Singers list because she's enraged that John Farnham and Tina Arena didn't make the cut. John Farnham was the one who went, "You're the voice, try and understand." Celine Dion didn't make the list. Good Lord, 200 people and Celine Dion didn't. First time I encountered Celine Dion was at the Eurovision Song Contest and she won. No, will you pay for I thought you check it out on YouTube. Celine Dion winning Eurovision and you go, "What a voice." Whatever. Anybody who sang, you know, in sort of what we called a foreign language went to top of the list for me. Johnny Depp is King Louis the 15th, XV, in a new promo image. He's, I did see him the other day. He was in that Pirates film, whatever it was. And are you still eating those things? They're addictive, aren't they? I know, told you. I know they're only small, but yeah, the more you can cram in your mouth. Lovely. Anyway, Johnny Depp. I quite like him. I think he's mad as a suitcase. Absolutely mad as a suitcase. But that's what makes good actors nowadays. Nobody ever said that they were brilliant. You know, it's the fact that they're so off kilter that they just fit into everything. And what they probably, I mean, I should imagine Johnny Depp goes, it's just reading words. It's not complicated. And he does it very well. It's like being a radio presenter. You know, you don't have to have any qualifications for being a radio presenter. There is no sort of hard and fast rule. So I never had to write out a thing going, I've got 3 O levels, 6 A levels, because I haven't got any qualifications. I've got nothing at all. I left school at 15. Being rude is the gimmick. What was that for? That was for the Karen restaurant. I didn't know, actually. I just thought there was somebody who'd been very rude to the lovely girl. But, you got The Apprentice coming back. Another bunch of dimwits. So, you know, no is not an option. You only have to look at them to realise that you're going to find the biggest bunch of liars you've ever heard. Ridiculous. At least Bosch is out there selling mattresses. He's doing what he does, which works for him. And it gives him a little bit of publicity and he maintains a level. You know, but some of the other ones, you listen to the crap they come up with. But Lord Sugar has said, I'm not a bottomless pit. He said when the $250,000 runs out, he won't give them any more cash. Most of them are failures. Most of them are absolute failures. But I don't mind that. I don't mind that. But people will enjoy watching it because we enjoy watching humiliation, you know, which is great. Strictly star Giovanni Pannicci and Giuita Pristil spotted leaving his flat 30 minutes apart. What, the press sitting outside his flat? Yes. Yes, they were sitting outside his flat. Why? Because they're perverts. They want to know what's going on. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but he's 32 and she's 28. They're not five-year-olds. If they want to spend the night together, who's to say anything happened? I mean, it's like, you know, should they sit outside Philip Schofield's flat and see what blokes are going in and out, eh? What do you reckon? You know, that would be equally as stupid because he has, you know, they don't do anything. It's just that the press have this insatiable appetite. I'd be questioning the actual photographers. I'd be questioning. So, are you a gay photographer? Right, let's put your name up on the press. We're going to put your name up there. Gay photographer? Whoa, have you, mate? Harry Styles, As It Was, is the most listened to single of 2022. 180 million streams. I mean, that is quite something. Also, Kate Bush's classic, which I thought was rubbish. Running up the hill. Go away. You're boring. Very boring. I mean, that was from 85. That was in sixth place. And it featured, of course, in the Netflix show Stranger Things, which, contrary to public opinion, is not the story of Harry and Moggs. It really isn't. And it turns out he's been telling lies again. The papers were full today of the story of, he said, you know, he's just reaching out to his father. They said his father has contacted him. Why is he telling lies? Sorry, the overexcitement. Also, the man who knew all about Diana's death in the tunnel, apparently for this new book, had been contacted by Harry to find out everything about it. And you think, so Harry doesn't know anything, does he? And if I hear, you know, people on the television going, of course, you know, he's had a troubled life. He had to walk behind his mother's coffin. And you think, this was a long time ago. He's not a child. He's an adult. He's supposed to know how to deal with things. But I was watching him getting into a car the other day with Meghan. And I thought, and you're throwing all this away. Why? Because you're a prat. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about your bank accounts. You don't have to worry about writing a letter. It's all you dictated. You don't have to worry about getting your clothes ready. You don't have to go to the laundrette. You don't have to go shopping. You don't have to clean the car. You don't have to push a Hoover around. In fact, you don't have to do anything because you're bone idle. You know, turning up and doing an appearance. And he did about the least out of all the members of the royal family. The Queen did the most, followed by Princess Anne, I think. And all you have to do is turn up, shake a few hands, have a photo taken, then bugger off back home again. That's not a job. That's not a job. Really makes me sick, actually. But Charles III sees the funny side after a shocked waiter says, sorry, King, after bumping into him in a Mayfair pub.
When I was working, I was very, very difficult with bells on.
Join me, Rachel Johnson, as I sit down with women at the forefront of change. Recently, I was joined by Delia Smith.
I wanted to try and take fear out of cooking in people. I wanted to try and teach them. And I was single-minded in it. I never was quiet, you see. I was a pain in the neck.
Rachel Johnson's Difficult Women.
Listen to the full podcast and subscribe now on Global Player.
Pub. Can you believe it? He was out before Christmas when a member of staff walked into Her Majesty and he said, "Sorry, King," instead of "Your Majesty." They have to. It's protocol. It's protocol. Boris Becker, the disgraced bloke, has already landed a job. He came out of prison a short while ago. He's £250,000 with German television, but he has to appear remotely because of the criminal records. You know, the funny thing is, you know, you get people who are very, very successful. I was watching a programme on the television the other day, and there's a bloke in America who exposes paedophiles. And what they do is, they, I think he works for CBS or one of these big networks, and as NBC, it's like a Dateline kind of thing. Is it NBC Dateline? Yeah. And what they do is these people who have gone online chatting to who they think, in this particular case, there's loads of them, thought he was chatting to a 13-year-old girl. And so they get all the transcripts. So they've got everything that he said. And then they bring him round to the house and he doesn't know. And then he thinks he's meeting this girl and she goes, "Be with you in a minute." And then this bloke walks around the corner. And he goes, "Sorry, it's me." And sometimes they know who he is. And he said, "Oh, I'm Michael Cressman," or whatever it happened to be. And this bloke went, "No, you're not." He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "Yes, I am." And they then burst into tears. And they know that the moment they walk out of the door of the house, they're going to be tasered, brought to the ground and arrested, put in handcuffs and taken off. It's amazing how many of them burst into tears. You know, "I was just there to protect her." "No, you weren't. I've got the transcripts here of what you were saying," one to a boy of 13. And guess who the predator was? He was a rabbi. He was a rabbi. I mean, it didn't get any worse. Who sort of looked and, you know, and talked to families about different bits and pieces. And yet he was writing to this 13-year-old boy stuff which I can't even repeat on my... Well, I probably could, but you just wouldn't. Just wouldn't. Pelé arrives at his final resting place. I was amazed. Not amazed in a shocked way, but in a really nice way, that more than 230,000 fans turned up to the stadium in Santos to see him lying in state. That's what I thought. I mean, that goes to prove exactly what people thought about him and what he did for Brazil and everything, really, because he came from nothing. He came from nothing. And I thought that was very touching. And he died. The moment he stayed in hospital, I thought that was going to be the end for him, unfortunately. And for Pope Benedict, thousands and thousands of people. If only I could say the same for me. You know, if only I've always wanted to do that. Do you remember on Golden Girls, Estelle Getty decided to send out cards saying she died to see who turned up for her funeral and the wake and everything else. And then, of course, she turned up in the house and they went, "Ah!" Like she'd made a comeback from the other side. She said, because you'd always want to be there for your own funeral, just to see if it was a good turnout, you know, and what people were saying about you. You know, you'd be standing behind a group of people, you know, ex-producers of mine, saying, "Oh, God, do you remember the time he did this? Do you remember the time he did that? Oh, do you remember the time he did that?" And, you know, you're going to get all of those sort of things. And you want to tap them on the shoulder and go, "I never said that. I never said that at all. No, I did something completely different." That's what I'd like to do. I want to be there at the end and to make sure. But we'll never know if it's entirely possible. But it's something that you cling on to. It's like a dream of mine. A dream. But I definitely don't want to be... what were they doing the other day? They were doing something. Apparently you could be composted now at the end of your life. I'm not sure I want to be composted. I don't mind being put into a rocket or something like that, because they do put you into a rocket, or you can be made into a jewel or something like that. But no, rocket I'll go for. I'll be happy to do that. I'm sure globally be more than happy to pay for something like that for me. And to bring me in a horse-drawn hearse to sit outside the front door for 5 minutes. And then they say, "Steve's in Leicester Square now, you can come and see him." I think it's good. Producer wanted me in the corner of the studio in my coffin, and every so often they'd open it up. They go, "There you go, that's what he looks like." He's not improving, is he, at all? Poor soul. Anyway, listen, have a fantastic day. Can't believe it's Wednesday, can you? We're nearly back to another weekend, but you will remember the train strike. And I think there might be buses that are not working as well. It's just a pain. But I think my idea, and it's no good everybody else nicking it, is to say, listen, make all the trains free. And all the buses free. And everybody goes out there, we get on them. And then you might get a solution a little bit quicker than this fannying around which you're doing at the moment, Mr. Lynch, because it's going nowhere. I don't care what you say. They say there's an offer on the table and it looks good. And you're going, no, it's not. Well, you'll be sitting there. It'll be another cold winter, pal, before you get it through your thick head that you're not hurting anybody apart from the great British public who you want on your side. Not against you, because if we all turn away from the railways and find something else, your members are going to be leaving in droves. Take it as a little bit of advice. Have a great day. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, please download and go to globalplayer.com. And it's all free and you can download as many of the podcasts as you want. And every single one of them a gem. Every single one a gem. Have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow. Till then, stay safe.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC.